F.A. Hayek is the most important representative of the fourth generation of the Austrian school and one of the great economists of the 20th century. Student of Friedrich von Wieser, protege and colleague of Ludwig von Mises, Hayek was extremely successful in spreading Austrian ideas throughout the English-speaking world. He's the only Austrian economist, so far, to receive the Nobel Prize in Economics, sharing the 1974 award with the Swedish socialist Gunnar Myrdal. Born in 1899 to a distinguished family of Viennese intellectuals, Hayek attended the University of Vienna, earning doctorates in 1921 and 1923. Hayek considered himself a mild socialist until he encountered Mises' 1922 book, Socialism. Mises argued that economic calculation requires private property and free markets for productive resources. Without such markets, there is no way to establish the values of those resources, and consequently, no way to find their proper uses in production. Mises' devastating attack on central planning converted Hayek to laissez-faire. Around this time, Hayek began attending Mises' famed private seminar, along with other top young economists, and Hayek became the acknowledged leader of this group. Hayek built on Mises' own monetary theory to develop a detailed account of economic fluctuations. He explained business cycles in terms of bank credit expansion and the transmission of those cycles in terms of capital malinvestments. Hayek's work in this area eventually earned him a position at the London School of Economics, where he spent the 1930s and 1940s, becoming one of the most influential economists in Britain and a leading opponent of John Maynard Keynes. Unfortunately, after Keynes published his famous book, The General Theory, in 1936, the Austrian theory of the business cycle was largely forgotten. Hayek left the LSE in 1950 for a position at the University of Chicago, where he was friendly with Frank Knight, Milton Friedman, and George Stigler, though Hayek was not a member of the Chicago school per se. At that time, Hayek was working mainly in the areas of psychology, philosophy, and politics. Mises was by this time teaching in New York, but was not very influential in the profession at large, and the Austrian School of Economics seemed on the verge of becoming a historical footnote. When the 1974 Nobel Prize in Economics went to Hayek, interest in the Austrian School was suddenly and unexpectedly revived. While this was not the first event of the so-called Austrian Revival, the famous South Royalton Conference having taken place earlier the same year, the rediscovery of Hayek by the economics profession was nonetheless a decisive event in the renaissance of Austrian economics. Hayek's writings on capital, money, and the business cycle are widely regarded as his most important contributions to economics. Building on previous work by Bombawerk and Mises, Hayek showed how fluctuations in economy-wide output and employment are related to the economy's capital structure. In his 1931 book, Prices and Production, he introduced the famous Hayekian triangles to illustrate the relationship between the value of capital goods and their place in the temporal structure of production. Because production takes time, factors of production must be committed in the present for making final goods that will have value only in the future after they're sold. However, capital is heterogeneous. As capital goods are used in production, they are transformed from general purpose materials and components to intermediate products that are specific to the final goods in question. Consequently, these assets cannot be easily redeployed to alternative uses if demands for final goods should change. The central macroeconomic problem in a modern capital-using economy, according to Hayek, is one of intertemporal coordination. How can the allocation of resources between different types of capital goods and consumer goods be aligned with consumers' preferences between present consumption and future consumption? In a later book, The Pure Theory of Capital, Hayek describes how the economy's structure of production depends on the characteristics of capital goods, their durability, their complementarity, substitutability, specificity, and so on. This structure can be described by the various investment periods of inputs, an extension of Bombawerk's famous notion of roundaboutness, the degree to which production takes up resources over time. Hayek showed how monetary injections, by lowering the rate of interest below its natural rate, distort the economy's intertemporal structure of production. Now, most theories of the effects of money on prices and output, at that time and even now, consider only the effects of the total money supply on the price level and aggregate output or investment. The Austrian theory, as developed by Mises and Hayek, focuses on the way money enters the economy and how this affects relative prices and investment in particular sectors. In Hayek's framework, investments in some stages of production are malinvestments if they do not help to align the structure of production to consumers' intertemporal preferences. The reduction in interest rates caused by bank credit expansion, especially in the presence of a central bank, directs resources towards capital-intensive processes and early stages of production, those whose investment demands are more sensitive to interest rates. And this lengthens the period of production. Now, if interest rates had fallen because consumers had changed their preferences to favor future over present consumption, then the longer time structure of production would have been an appropriate coordinating response. However, a fall in interest rates caused by bank credit expansion would be a false signal, causing changes in the structure of production that are not consistent with consumers' intertemporal preferences. Now, this may cause a temporary boom, but this boom generated by the increase in investment is artificial. Eventually, market participants come to realize that there are not enough savings to complete all of the new projects, and the boom becomes a bust as these malinvestments are discovered and liquidated. In other words, every artificial boom induced by credit expansion is self-reversing. Recovery consists of liquidating the malinvestments that are caused by the lowering of interest rates below their natural levels, thus restoring the time structure of production so that it accords with consumers' intertemporal preferences. Obviously, this is a very different understanding of business cycles from the modern Keynesian view that is so dominant today. Hayek's writings on dispersed knowledge and spontaneous order are also widely known, but somewhat more controversial. In a 1937 article, Economics and Knowledge, and a follow-up article called The Use of Knowledge in Society from 1945, Hayek argued that the central economic problem facing society is not, as is commonly expressed in textbooks, the allocation of given resources among competing ends. Quote, "It is rather a problem of how to secure the best use of resources known to any of the members of society for ends whose relative importance only those individuals know. Or, to put it briefly, it is the problem of the utilization of knowledge not given to anyone in its totality." Close quote. Much of the knowledge necessary for running the economic system, Hayek contended, is not in the form of scientific or technical knowledge, the conscious awareness of the rules governing natural and social phenomena. Instead, it is in the form of tacit knowledge, the idiosyncratic, dispersed bits of understanding of what Hayek called circumstances of time and place. Now, this tacit knowledge is often not consciously known even to those who possess it, and can never be communicated to a central authority. The market tends to use this tacit knowledge through a type of what Hayek called a discovery procedure, by which this information is transmitted throughout the economy as an unintended consequence of individuals pursuing their own ends. For Hayek, market competition generates a particular kind of order, an order that is the product, quote, "of human action but not human design," close quote. This is a phrase that Hayek borrowed from Adam Smith's mentor, Adam Ferguson. What results is a spontaneous order, a system that comes about through the independent actions of many individuals and produces overall benefits that are unintended and mostly unforeseen, even by those whose actions bring it about. Most commentators view Hayek's work on knowledge, discovery, and competition as an outgrowth of his participation in the socialist calculation debate of the 1920s and 1930s. The socialists made a mistake, in Hayek's view, in failing to see that the economy as a whole is necessarily a spontaneous order and can never be deliberately made over in the way that the operators of a planned order can exercise control over their organization. This is because planned orders can handle only problems of strictly limited complexity. Spontaneous orders, by contrast, tend to evolve through a process of natural selection and therefore do not need to be designed or even understood by a single mind, according to Hayek. Other important contributions include Hayek's three-volume set, Law, Legislation, and Liberty, which defends the British common law system as more conducive to economic and political liberty than the French continental civil law system. Hayek also wrote some devastating critiques of the inflationist policies of the UK and US during the 1970s. His last book, The Fatal Conceit, appeared shortly before his death in 1992. Clearly, the Austrian Revival owes as much to Hayek as to anyone. However, while Hayek's writings on money, capital, and business cycles are central to the Austrian tradition, he was also an original and idiosyncratic thinker, and some of his ideas on knowledge and discovery are more controversial within the Austrian school. Nevertheless, there is widespread agreement that Hayek ranks among the greatest members of the Austrian school and among the leading economists of the 20th century. His work continues to be influential in business cycle theory, comparative economic systems, political and social philosophy, legal theory, and even cognitive psychology. Hayek's writings are not always easy to follow, and this may have contributed to the variety of interpretations that his work has aroused. Partly for this reason, Hayek remains one of the most intriguing intellectual figures of our time.
For more content like this, visit Mises.org.